You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We'll be talking about voice recognition in Halacha, and it's actually based on this week's parasha. Parashas Toldos, when we have Yaakov and Esav vying for the brachas from Yitzchak, and Rivka knows a little bit, you know, perhaps she knows what's, she has her pulse a little better than Yitzchak, who's already quite blind. So Yaakov comes with, of course, Rivka's trickery and deception, wearing the goatskins on his arm to make him seem as though he's Esav. Vayigash Yaakov al Yitzchak aviv vayimushehu. And vayomer hakol kol Yaakov hayadayim de Esav, those famous last words. But nevertheless, velo hikiro, Yitzchak did not recognize who his son was. Ki hayu yodav kidei Esav achiv siros. They were very hairy because of the goatskins that Rivka had handed him. Had handed Yaakov, vayivarcheu, and Yitzchak gave Yaakov the brachos that he really intended to give to Esav. So this was the deception that Yaakov got involved with in order to trick his father. Whatever the reasons for that are, we're not going to go into that. It's not the goal of our shiur tonight. But you see that the kol was kol Yaakov. Now, when you think of that kol Yaakov, you will remember, welcome Dr. Pinter from the emergency room. When you think of Hakol Kol Yaakov, you think of what Rashi says, which we all remember since we were little kids. He didn't say please. I'm sorry, he said please, and he said Elokim. He talked about Hashem. He had Hashem Shem Shamayim Shogar Befiv. So he talked the language that Yaakov talked. He didn't talk coarse language that Esav was more the one to talk. That's how we always learned. But the Ramban says something different. The Ramban says it wasn't Hakol Kol Yaakov because of the content of what was said, but rather, as you see here, we quote, the Ramban quotes Rashi that Ein Derech Esav Lios Shev Shemayim Shogar Befiv, right? It's saying, invoking Hashem's name is the thing Yaakov does, not Esav. But look at a very unusual question that Ramban asks. Ramban asks a very unusual question. I have to think, if you never saw this Ramban, which I never did, it's a really incredible Ramban. The Ramban asks, you know, according to Rashi, it comes out that Yaakov was always talking, always had Hashem on his lips, always talking about Hashem. And Esav, it sounds like Yitzchak was aware that Esav was grub, Esav was coarse, Esav was harsh, Esav didn't say please, Esav didn't mention Hashem's name. Well, if that's the case, then wouldn't Yitzchak realize that Esav is a low-class person? And if that's the case, wouldn't Yitzchak have realized that the tzaddik of the two boys is really Yaakov and not Esav? So how in the world, if the whole point of this is that there was a trickery, there was a deceit, if it's so clear that they spoke differently and Shem Shemaim was yes shogar al piv of Esav and was not, it was yes shogar b'fiv shel Yaakov, not shogar b'fiv shel Esav, then how in the world did Yitzchak assume that Esav was a tzaddik also? He realized they talk differently. If you meet somebody and they start cursing and they start using disgusting language, and then you meet somebody else and you see and you hear how they talk with such respect and they talk about Emir Tzashem, Be'ezes Hashem, B'li Ayin Hara, so you could tell right away that you're talking, one's a tzaddik, one's a Rasha. I don't want to say tzaddik and Rasha, but you could tell that they're different types of people. So asks the Ramban, how could Rashi say that Yitzchak thought that, Yaakov speaks nicely and talks about Hashem and Esav never does? Then Yitzchak would know that Yaakov is the tzaddik and Esav is the Rasha. So how could Yitzchak be fooled? Says the Ramban something incredible. He says, you know what? Yitzchak knew that Esav never invoked Shem Hashem. But you know what Yitzchak thought? Yitzchak thought that Esav was such a tzaddik. You know why Yitzchak thinks to himself, you know what, my son Esav, he's a great hunter. You know he never says Shem Hashem? Because since his hands are always dirty, he's always scared that he's going to say Shem Hashem with the dirty hands. Or he's going to say Shem Hashem where there's something dirty. Or he's scared that he's involved with hunting. He's scared that he'll say Shem Hashem, you know, without kavana. And because of that incredible Yiras Shamayim that my son Esav has, he doesn't even want to invoke Shem Hashem because it might be recited without the purity that's necessary, without the kavana that's necessary, without the Torah that's necessary. when Yitzchak identifies his son Esav as somebody who never says Shem Hashem, it's not that he didn't, that Esav isn't the type of person to say Shem Hashem. It's that Esav is on such a rarefied, high level of Yiras Shamayim that he doesn't even want to invoke Shem Hashem lest his hands be dirty or lest he not have the right kavana because he's focused on his hunting. But Yaakov, who's in the Beis Medrash, Yaakov, of course, he's always focused on Hashem. It's easy for him to say Shem Hashem. But Yitzchak thought that Esav, who's a great tzaddik and such a Yiras Shamayim, that's why he doesn't say Shem Hashem, because Esav is scared. His hands might be dirty, or there might be something inappropriate around. That's what the Ramban says. It's an incredible Ramban. That's what the Ramban says is the explanation how Yitzchak calls Hakol Kol Yaakov, because of the way of, again, explaining Rashi's opinion that it means just his way of speech in the sense of the words that he uses. But of course, concludes the Ramban, and this is really what I wanted to bring to you. Valderech HaPshat. But the simple meaning of the words Hakol Kol Yaakov is not like we learned Rashi when we were in first and second grade, that Yaakov used Shem Hashem, Esav didn't talk about the name of Hashem. It's that they have different voices. Different voices. Avur de Valder Chapshat Yezeb Avur Tvius Hakol. It's just a voice recognition. That's what Kol Kol Yaakov means. You sound like you have a whatever high-pitched voice like Yaakov has, as opposed to the deep, resonant voice that Esav has. That's what Yitzchak was saying when he said, Kol Kol Yaakov. You sound like you have Yaakov's voice. Nothing to do with whether he said Shem Hashem or not, whether he said please or thank you, none of that business. Your voice sounds like Yaakov, even though your hands sound like Esav. In other words, let's pause for a minute. According to our parsha, according to this Ramban's pshat, the Derech HaPshat that we're saying that it's expected that somebody is recognized by their voice, it seems that Yitzchak follow the voice recognition? No, he didn't. He said, despite the fact that you sound like Yaakov, your voice is like Yaakov, I see that your hands indicate otherwise, and therefore I am not going to follow your voice. So even though the words Hakol Kol Yaakov show that there is a concept of voice recognition in halacha, the fact that Yitzchak does not act on that, rather is drawn more by the hairy arms that he feels, and that convinces him, despite the fact that this voice sounds like Yaakov's voice, Yitzchak still thinks it's Esav because of the arms, the hairy arms. And therefore, the conclusion of our parsha is that although we realize there's a concept of voice recognition, we do not follow voice recognition. Rather, we would follow what you see or what you feel with your hands, as opposed to voice recognition. Now, that's what emanates from our parsha. There's a lot to say as far as the psukim and bereishis are concerned. Let's see how it works in halacha. What I'm going to do tonight, after working on this sugya for many hours, I realize a lot of times when you get into a sugya, after you're in a sugya for a while, you realize what the structure of the sugya is, how the sugya is built in the poskim. What we're going to do is we're going to see another three or four gemaras. And the problem is that we're going to find that there's going to be a stira in gemaras, whether or not halacha recognizes voice recognition. And how we answer the stira between these opposing gemaras is going to tell us where and when we could follow voice recognition in halacha. But let me just give you a few examples of what I mean by voice recognition in halacha. I'll tell you a story. This is a story that was a shaila that was presented to Rav David Karlin in this tshuva that I have here in purple. The shaila's David was Rav David Mikarlin, and he was born in the early 1800s, and he was the Rav of Karlin, which he was there for 49 years. He was the Rav of Karlin until he died right before World War II, or during World War II. And Rav David Mikarlin was one of the Gedolei Haposkim period of that generation of the late 1800s. And one of the Rav Shechter likes to say the reason why his tshuvos are not so well received is because he wrote very long paragraphs. He didn't like make a new idea. Every paragraph got a new idea. He just wrote these paragraphs that are pages and pages and pages long, so it's hard to read. It's just hard on your eyes to read. So that's why he never got the fame that he deserved because of his incredible godless. That was Rav David Mikarlin. So the following shaila came to Rav David Mikarlin, a terrifying shaila. Interesting that Rav David Mikarlin at one point was in the Chovev Eitz Zion movement. Later he opposed it. Listen to the shaila. It was an aguna shaila. There was a man in a kiotka of the barka. What's a kiotka of the barka? Well, a barka in Yiddish is what? Anyone know what a barka in Yiddish is? Anyone know what a barka is in Yiddish? It's a boat. It's a boat. Apparently, a kiotka, I don't know if that's Yiddish or it's Russian or whatever, Ukrainian, whatever language they spoke in Pinsk or in Karelian. It was a cabin. There was a person named Yosef from Karelian. Yosef ben Aharon mi Karelian, from the city of Karelian. He was on a boat in his cabin. And this boat was on the river near Brisk, and there was a terrible fire that broke out on this boat. And three people saw this fire, and this is the report that they reported. Number one, these three testimonies that were testified about the fire regarding this boat. Now, keep in mind, after this fire, this gentleman was never seen again. And his wife is coming to the basin to Rav David Mikarlin. So the basin, I don't know if it was the basin in Karelian or the basin in Brisk, I don't know. But this poor lady is coming and saying, my husband has not been seen since the fire on the boat in Brisk, and I want to know, can I remarry? There are three witnesses to this event, and this is their testimony. The first one says that I saw Rav Yosef from Karelian, this fellow named Rav Yosef. I saw him go into his cabin and close the door behind him, and I know he was going to sleep in his cabin. And I was in a nearby boat, I think. And then there was a fire, and I heard screaming. And I went outside, and I saw the cabin of Rav Yosef burning in fire. And I heard Rav Yosef's voice screaming. I didn't see him, but I heard him screaming, oi, oi. I heard him screaming, oi, oi. And I went to the boat where the fire was with a bucket full of water to put out the fire in the cabin. And as the fire got bigger, I had to retreat. That was the first testimony. Let's go to the second testimony. So what happened? What we have here is an Aguna Shaila, where there was somebody in a cabin and we heard his voice and we recognized his voice. But we didn't see him being burnt, but we recognized it was his voice. Clearly, you see what the shaila is going to be. The shaila is going to be, could we rely on hearing of the voice to identify this as the husband in order to allow this aguna to remarry? And that's going to be our shaila of voice recognition. The second person had a very similar story with a little bit of a twist, but not that changes what really happened. Hasheni Heid Gamken Kanal, that Rav Yosef went to sleep in his cabin, I closed the door behind him, and half an hour, I'm not sure, I think he was working for half an hour, this witness was working for half an hour pouring water, I'm not really sure what he was doing, and then he heard from that cabin, Givaldin. I don't know, we know the word Givald, but I assume Givaldin, it's translated here, the Bailan translated as screams. He heard screams coming from the cabin. He turns around to see what it is, and he sees a person, a figure, but he doesn't know who he sees. But he does hear this voice. And he's unable to get closer because of the fire. That's the second testimony. Finally, the third testimony, Vashlishi Heid Kanal, similar story, that Rav Yosef went to go to sleep in his cabin, and he was by himself without anybody else. And after he went to his cabin, after the other fellow, the witness, went away. He heard screams, went outside. He sees that the next door boat is burning. And he says, oh my gosh, I feel that's Rav Yosef's boat or Rav Yosef's cabin. And he jumps onto the boat of Rav Yosef and he tries to open the door to get Rav Yosef out of that cabin. And he hears Rav Yosef screaming. What is he screaming? He says, oi, Gewalt, Ratavit. Ratava, daddy knows what that means. Ratava means save me, Ratava, save me, Hatsilu. And I screamed to him, come. And apparently the cabin was already too full of smoke. He wasn't able to find the door. And after that, there was silence. And I, the witness, the third witness says, and I had to run away because of the fire. Those were the three witnesses. They all recognized his voice. None of them saw his face. They also heard the voice coming from the cabin where he, Rav Yosef, was situated, where they knew he of a knowledge, of a definitive knowledge. They didn't see who he was, but is knowing that he was in the cabin, half an hour, he went to the cabin. I don't know, you know, maybe somebody else went in the cabin. Maybe he got out of the cabin. Maybe he got out of the cabin through another door, through a back door, through a side door, or jumped out of, I don't know what. He swam away and he went uptown and married some, I don't know, Goyisha lady from Brisk. I don't know, maybe, or maybe he died there. And to add to this Shaila, afterwards, when the fire was extinguished, ultimately the fire burnt out, they did find a body, a charred body, in that cabin. They were unable to identify it. So the question is, and you see what a frightening question, Shaila, this is can we rely on the voice of the scream that these three witnesses or friends of Rav Yosef from Karlin, they recognize his voice. Could we rely on that voice to permit his wife to remarry? That's the Shaila. Dr. Pinta, do you have a question?
Yeah, only from the third person is he actually hearing a voice. The other ones are sounds, not actually even speaking.
But when you hear somebody scream, you're asking that not all the witnesses heard an actual conversation or words. But you're right. If somebody, screams, you know, he didn't specify, but it could be that he heard the screams of "Please save me, save me, save me."
Exactly what they're specifying. They're not specifying. They're saying exactly what they heard. They said this one's saying "I" is the first one. Second one's saying
could be. So I guess you're pointing out, just for the recording, you're pointing out that they didn't necessarily all hear his voice talking. They heard him screaming. But I think sometimes when you can recognize a scream. I mean, you Baruch Hashem have kids who know how to scream, and you know who's screaming when. So you know exactly lahavdil. You know exactly what it means. You could hear a scream from one person. Somebody else's scream is a very different scream. So this is the shaila that we have. And now we're going to not see Rav David Mikalin's tshuva, but we're going to go back to Shas, and we're going to try to figure out how halacha, how Shas, looks at a human voice, and is a voice sufficient to testify that this was the person who we're talking about. And this could have ramifications in many areas of halacha, as we will see shortly. There's a Gemara in Gittin. Mishnah says, Hakol ksherin lahavias haget. Anyone could be a shliach to bring a get. Chutz mi'cheresh shote v'katan. Of course not. They don't have das. But it adds two more people. Visuma, a blind person. V'oved kochavim. So I understand that the regular three are not people who have das. Cheresh shote v'katan bishlam. Cheresh shote v'katan, says the Gemara. Lavnei de'eninu. They don't have das. Of course they can't bring a get. I understand that. But suma amai lo. How come you can't trust a blind person to bring a get? A blind person has das, right? We have Rav Yosef, one of our Tanaim, I think Tanaim, Amoraim, I don't remember, Rav Yosef was an Amora maybe. He was blind and he was an Amora. We learn halachas from Rav Yosef. So you could be brilliant. I know a gentleman who was blind in YU. He used to sit in the library all day. People would read to him and he was a brilliant man, a big Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Winevsky, I think his name was. And he was blind. So why can't he bring a get? Says Rav Sheshes, l'fisheinu yodeh miminot lo ulaminoso. Because he doesn't know who he's receiving it from, who he's giving it from. So you're right, he has das fundamentally. He's not lacking intelligence. But practically, he doesn't know who's giving him the get and who he has to give the get to. Who the lady is that he has to give it to and who the man is that he got it from. Oh, really? If that's the case, look at these two very interesting questions. You're telling me that this Suma is blind and therefore he can't see who he's taking it from and who he's giving it to? But he hears the voice of the husband give him the get. He hears the husband say, Mr. Blind Man, please give my wife this get. And then when he walks over to the lady's house, he could hear her voice and say, oh, thank you for my get, Mr. Blind Man. He hears her voice. And can't he recognize their voice? That's the Gemara's question. Mask of Rav Yosef. Hech Suma Mutter B'Ishto? How could a Suma, who you're telling me a Suma can't see, so therefore he doesn't know anything. Well, how is he allowed to live with his wife? We know a Suma is permitted to get married. And if he's going to be living with his wife, it must be that he's recognizing her by, not visually, must be he's recognizing her with voice recognition. Similarly, asks the Gemara in Gittin, Heich b'nei adam utarm b'nei shaseim b'alayla. How does any person, even a person who can see, how is any person permitted to his wife at night, during the nighttime? He doesn't see what, he doesn't see anything. It's dark, it's pitch black. It must be he recognizes their voice. What do you see? Concludes the Gemara. We do rely on the voice. Ela b'tvias ena dekala. We could rely on somebody's voice. And therefore the Gemara says, we should also allow this blind person to listen and rely on the voice that he hears from the husband, and the voice that he hears as he gives the wife the get, and we should be able to rely on his voice, on the voices that he hears. How the Gemara deals with this problem is not important for us. What you see from this Gemara is this one very important line, that if a blind man hears something, that is sufficient to rely upon. We are going to be willing to rely on Tvius Eina Dekala. These three words are really the topic of our shiur tonight. I want to just focus on those words for a moment because it's almost like an oxymoron. Tvius Eina means visual recognition. We're saying it's the visual recognition of the voice. You know, like there's a joke in Eretz Yisrael. Does anyone know how to say the front axle? In Eretz Yisrael, you go to there's a truck, you want to talk about your front axle, you go to the mechanic, my front axle is broken. How do you say your front axle? A back axle, hakidmi, the front back axle, right? Back axle is the back axle and the front back axle. So you have the same thing here. You have tvias eina, the visual recognition of the voice. You see what I'm trying to say, that the Gemara has a way of saying that the recognition of something, just like we have a visual recognition of something, so too you can have the audio voice recognition of something to be able to identify this is mine or this is so-and-so, or this is her, this is him, this is he, this is she. So what do we have? We have a Gemara that seems to state explicitly, without any shadow of a doubt, that the whole reason why anyone is allowed to be with his wife at night or assume is allowed to be with his wife, even though he can never see, is clearly because you do rely on voice recognition. Period. That's the Gemara Gittin. That's why I wrote the word yes. The word yes next to this Gemara Gittin to show you that the Gemara Gittin says, yes, there is voice recognition. And I'll show you another Gemara that you also see that we rely on voice recognition, but in a very different way. The Gemara Chulin is talking about what's better, if you recognize something visually or if you have specific simanim. I'll give you an example. You lose I'll tell you a story, actually. A story happened to me last week. I was jogging in Back Lawrence, and I saw a $20 bill right near the golf course. I picked up the $20 bill, and I looked around. And lo and behold, beyond a little hedge of bushes, I found another $20 bill. So I picked up that $20 bill. And right next to that $20 bill, I found five other $20 bills and a five. I found $145 on the floor, seven 20s and a $5 bill. Yep, $145. This was last week. So I go to the golf course. It was closed. The guy where the booth where you get the golf carts was closed. I called up in the morning. I said, you know, there are a lot of Jews, you know, in the neighborhood, a lot of Jews at the golf course. So maybe might be a lot of Jews there. So I said, you know, is there anyone who, if anyone lost money, let me know. So he says, okay, I'll let you know. In a little while, a person calls you back, says, oh, it's a godsend. And so-and-so called. And he said he lost money. This here, I said, please put him in touch with me. Now, I didn't know if the person who would be calling would be Jewish or not Jewish. I didn't know if he'd be honest or not honest. So I did what halacha says. I said, please send me a text with the amount and the denominations of the money that you lost. So he wrote a very, hey, it's Jim, and I want to tell you this is the money that I lost. And it had nothing to do with the money that I found. None of the denominations were basically, it was basically totally off. The amount was off, the denominations were off. I said, thank you very much. I'm sorry it doesn't match, but, you know, I wished him a good life in the nicest of ways. What do you see there? That's a case where you have a simon. The simon is, how much money did you lose? What are the denominations? That's a simon. What if I just would say, I found something. You want to look at it? Here, look at it. Do you recognize it? That would be tvias ayin. What do we rely on when it comes to Hashavas Aveda? Do we rely on, I'll show it to you and you can look at it and say it's yours? Or do you have to give me a simon? So says Rava, Maresh, originally I thought that maybe simen is better than tvias ayin. If you have a simen that you could prove that something's yours, you could show that you could identify a certain simanim that it has, that's better than recognizing it visually. Why? Because we know that when you return Hashem's Aveda, you don't show the guy who said, oh yeah, I lost that. You don't show the guy and say, did you lose this? No, you ask for a simen. Daha, mahadrinan Aveda sabisiman, v'lo mahadrinan tvias ayinah. You don't return, if you find a, whatever it is, a dog, you don't show the dog to the person who claims that they lost the dog and say, oh, do you recognize this dog? No. The person has to say, it's a terrier, it's a husky, it's a golden retriever, it has a black spot on the left paw and a white streak between the eyes. You have to have a simen. So it shows that maybe simen is better than tvias ayinah. Says the Gemara. But now, after whatever the Gemara has said, I think the opposite. I think tvias ayinah is adif. I think recognizing, visual recognition, we're not talking about verbal recognition yet, recognition is better. Why? Because, dilotei mahachi, I'll prove to you that we have to follow recognition. Heach suma muta b'ishto. How is a blind person allowed to be with his wife? Ubnei adam eich mutam b'nisho sam b'layla. How is any person able to be with his wife at night? It must be that there's a recognition, not a visual recognition, but a audio recognition, a voice recognition. So therefore, just like we rely on audio recognition, so too we should rely on not just audio recognition, but also a visual recognition. Okay, fine. That's another Gemara. We're saying the similar point that we will rely on audio recognition based on this case of a suma with his wife and any person with his wife in the nighttime. Those are two Gemaras that we just finished that show that there is something called voice recognition. But now, gentlemen, I'm going to show you a Gemara that seems to be the exact opposite. We have to learn the Gemara a little bit carefully. This Gemara is talking about a mesis. A mesis is somebody who tries to convince others to do a zara, and they're chayv misa. The problem is that when a mesis comes and tells you, hey, let's do Avodah Zarah. Come with me. Let's do Avodah Zarah. So he's just Chayav Misa, but how are you going to get Edom on that? The whole point of a Mesis is that he comes to you secretly. That's what the Torah says. A Mesis comes to a person. Sorry. A Mesis comes to a person secretly and says, hey, why don't you come and join me doing Avodah Zarah? Well, if it's secret, then how are you ever going to have two Edom testify that he was a Mesis if the way a Mesis operates is always by convincing people secretly? So the Gemara tells you, I'll tell you how. The Gemara says, you set up an ambush. Much like the FBI. When the FBI wants to catch somebody, they set something up like they do a setup with a fake, like when the FBI is trying to catch somebody who's like a terrorist or a drug dealer, they send in a fake drug customer. Or they set up a fake, person to pretend that they're selling or buying ammunition as a way to trap somebody. That's exactly what the FBI does when they want to trap somebody. That's what the Gemara says. Sha'ar kol chayvei misa shebator ein machminin aleihem. By all the misos of the Torah, you never try to trap somebody to get them to, could you just tell me like how you killed so-and-so? No, we never try to do that, except by a mesis. Listen to what we do by a mesis. Case and osin lo. The guy who is accused of trying to convince others of doing Avodah Zarah, you call him into a room and you say, hey, could you meet me in wherever, a certain location? Let's have a rendezvous point and come inside. Let's do it. Let's talk secretly. You invite him into a room and says the Gemara, says the Braisa, Madlikin lo es haner, bebayis hapnimi. You sit him on an inner room so that he doesn't want to, right? As if you try to be very quiet and discreet about this. Meanwhile, there are two Edim sitting outside with their ears to the door.
You are listening today, to BensTorah.com.
Why do you need the candle? Look what it says. Kedei sheyuhein roen oso v'shomen es kolos. So they could see the person who is being the mesis, who's trying to convince others to do Avodah Zarah, and they could hear his voice. V'hu ein roen oson. But the guy inside doesn't know that he's being watched by those two Edom. So we ambush this witness, this mesis, and we say, could you tell me again what you wanted us to do? You tell me again, you wanted me to serve what? You wanted me to bow down to what? And the guy says, yeah, I wanted you to bow down to this Avodah Zarah, Ploni Almoni, whatever Avodah Zarah, come with me, we'll do it together. come. It's really cool. It's a fun thing to do. Come join me. Can I ask you a question? What could the Braisa have said? The Braisa could have just said, we let the ambush happen with the Edom listening. Why do you also need the light in the room? Well, the Braisa said explicitly, you need the light in the room so that the Edom could see the Mesis with their eyes, as Rashi points out. Hein Rono, so L'or HaNer Shimo. Because if they don't see with their eyes who's talking, D'lo Matzi Chazule, if they're unable to see the Mesis who's speaking, L'o Matzi Misade Alei L'chiyu V'Ketala, they can't testify on him, Achiv Misa. Even though they heard him, what do you mean? They heard him say, come do Avodah Zarah with me. Why can't they testify that they heard the words, come to Avodah Zarah with me? You know why, Rashi says? Because the Mesis could always claim, oh, that wasn't me. You must have heard somebody else. Wait a second. What do you see clearly from this Gemara? From this Gemara in Sanhedrin Samach Zayin, you see clearly that we will not rely on the voice in order to testify, for the Edom to testify that so-and-so is a Mesis. We will not employ voice recognition here, right? Because the Braisa says that you have to light a fire, you have to light a candle so that the Edom could see who was doing the talking. And apparently we're not sufficient, we're not satisfied with the voice recognition. And if you just would hear the voice, even though the Edom are confident they heard who it was, the person could always say, no, that wasn't me, you heard wrong. But if they see, then there's nothing to argue about, because apparently the witness, the testimony, the witnessing, the seeing the this case with their eyes, that there's no questioning, only the voice that we wouldn't be able to rely on. So here you have a Gemara, I'll take your question second, Doctor. So here you have a Mefurisha Gemara that says that when it comes to voice recognition, we do not follow the voice. We do not recognize somebody based on their voice. You have to actually see them with your eyes. And therefore this Gemara, that's why I wrote the word no, says we do not follow, halacha does not recognize voice recognition. And that's against the two previous Gemaras where we saw that we do follow voice recognition in halacha, as we see evidenced by the sumo who's permitted to be with his wife or any person with their wife during the nighttime when they can't see, and yet we rely on voice recognition. So we have a contradiction in Shas. And that's what we're going to have to figure out tonight, how to resolve this contradiction in Shas. Yes, Doctor, what's your question?
This case is completely different because the whole thing you're testifying is about the Dibur. It can't be used to establish who you're giving the Dibur on. It's a different scenario. It's not like you saw somebody do an action and therefore the whole Mesis is his Dibur that's getting him
you
in
want
trouble.
To say that the case, this is what you suggest. I just have to say it out loud for the recording. You want to say that the reason why we don't rely on the voice recognition here is because the entire testimony is just on what did the fellow say. Did he say, I'm going to, please join me in doing Avodah Zarah? As opposed to the other cases where it's not a testimony, we're not trying to figure out who's talking, it's just trying to figure out who the person is. So when you want to figure out who the person is, your Dr. Pinter is suggesting, then you can use voice. But when you have to testify about the voice itself, then you cannot use the voice. I hear that. That's a creative solution, and I have no problem with it. I haven't seen that answer in any of the Echronim, but I hear what you want to say. We'll have to think, well, there must be something. If the Echronim liked it, they would have said that. There's obviously, if we think about it longer, we'll have to think about what's not good about it, but I like it. So you have my haskam. You don't have the haskam of any of the Echronim. The Kedos didn't hold like you, the Nesivis doesn't hold like you, the Davar Mikhalin doesn't hold like you, but I like it. So whatever that's worth. Okay. So that's what we have in front of us. Now, I have one other Gemara, but I don't really know what to make of this Gemara. I don't know which side of the coin this following Gemara is, and that's why, as you see, I present it with a question mark. I really don't know. Is the following Gemara, I'll tell you the story right now, and I don't know if that shows that we do follow voice recognition or we don't follow voice recognition. But here's the story. The story goes that we know that if a man is, doesn't have children, so there's going to be Yibam. If he's married and doesn't have children, there's going to be Yibam. And sometimes he could have a brother a million miles away in Australia. And he knows that if he dies, then his wife is going to have to get, a chalitza from this, if she wants to be able to get remarried, chalitz of this long-lost brother who might not be religious, might not want to do chalitz, he'll never be able to be found somewhere in the depths of Australia in the sub-Saharan desert. So he wants to do a favor and he wants to divorce his wife before he dies. Because this way she'd be a gerusha and she could get married. So what happens? The story that is told in Gittin Samach Vav, a Mishnah, there's a guy who's thrown into a pit and he's going to die there. And he knows he's going to die there. There, I don't know, there are snakes and scorpions and the rescue team, the rescue squad can't get him. He knows that he's facing his death. But you know what he does? He screams up to the top of the pit, to the people up there, Vamar, Kol HaShomeis Kol, anybody who could hear my voice, anyone who hears my screams, please write a get to my wife. I hereby appoint you to write a get to my wife. So the Mishnah Paskins, anyone who hears that has the right to write the get, to have the get signed, and to deliver the get to his wife and make her into a grusha. Rashi points out, of course, how do we know who it is? Well, he screams out his name. He says, I hear John Doe, I'm stuck down on the bottom of this thing, I'm going to die. But I'm going to die from, I'm going to about to drown, whatever it is. I'm married to so-and-so. Please give her my get. Okay, so you could act on that instruction, even though you don't see the person, but you could follow the directions that you heard. Says the Gemara, very funny question. How could you give a get if you didn't see the guy? Lecho Shema Shedhu. Maybe he's a demon. Maybe he's not a real person. So Rav Yehuda says, no, you saw some image of a person on the bottom of the pit, and a shade doesn't have the image of a person. Okay, says the Gemara, maybe, you know who is screaming that? It was the co-wife of this woman, and she wants to mess up she wants to get rid of her co-wife. She wants the co-wife to be divorced, so she could be alone with her husband, so she could be the only husband, so the only wife. How do you know that? How could you rely on just scream? Maybe, you know, maybe it could be this co-wife is screaming. Concludes the Gemara. You know why we allow, why we're willing to rely on this voice from the depth of the pit? Because it's sha'as ha'sakana. It's a moment of danger. Kosev v'nosa afal pishe makiri. It's a leniency we have special for sha'as ha'sakana that you could write even again based on a person's screams, even though he doesn't, even though we don't recognize who he is. So I don't know what to make of this, Gemara. Does this tell me that there is a voice recognition or that it's not voice recognition? On one hand, Rashi said that he had to say his name. It sounds like you can't just rely on his voice to identify him. So maybe it's saying that you don't rely on, you cannot, maybe Rashi is saying you can't rely on the voice recognition to identify him. It's only because he said his name. Possibly, I'm not sure. So I don't really know what to make of this fourth Gemara. Either way, what we have is we have a stira in Shas. We had the two Gemaras that says that we do rely on a voice recognition. That's why a person could be with his wife at night. A blind person could be with his wife because we recognize his wife's voice. And we have this other story with the Mesis where the Gemara requires that there's a candle so that the witnesses could see who did the Hasas, Recruiting. Yeah, to recruit them to do Avodah Zarah. Thank you. That's a good word. So there we see that the witnesses actually have to see it and can't rely on the voice recognition. So we have a stira shas. How are we going to deal with this stira? Now, I want to show you an incredible diuk in a Rambam. This is the Rambam talking about blind people. Could a blind person be a witness? Well, what do they see? They don't see anything, right? Well, they don't see anything, but they hear, and oftentimes they hear very well. They might have a very acute sense of hearing, oftentimes. Says the Rambam, Hilchos Edus Perek Tes, Halacha Yud Beis, Hasumim, a blind person. Even if they recognize the voice, afal pishim akirin hakol, v'yedu ha'anashim, they know exactly who, they heard exactly, you know, who is what and what was who. Hare'elu psulim min ha'torah. I'm sorry, even though they have definitive knowledge and they are convinced 100% and there's no questioning it, they're still puzzled from the Torah. You know why? Because it's a gzeres ha'kasev. Because the Torah says, v'hu eid o ra'ah, he saw he tested, or he was a witness, or he saw. So you see, they have to have the ability to see. So the Torah disqualifies a witness. I'm sorry, it disqualifies a blind person, as this drasha rolls out. Mishu roi liros shehu hu shemeid. However, if he's blind in one eye, then he could. Fine, okay. Forget about one eye. That's not really important. But a blind person, even if he hears voices, cannot testify. Why can't he testify? Not because we question if it's true or not, but it's a gzeiras hakos of the Torah invalidated a blind person from testimony. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Suma b'shteina of somebody who, the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, in Hilchos Eidah, Simin Laman Hei, says, if a person is blind in both eyes, even though he recognizes the voice, he knows exactly what it's talking about, and his Eidah is perfectly reliable, puzzle. Oh, wow. Let's think for a second. Comes the Shah Mishpat and says something very, very simple. Why is a blind person invalidated? Because we don't think he heard what he heard, or he heard who he heard? No. It's only because the Rambam said very clearly, because it's a pasuk that invalidates him, because he's a blind man, and a blind man is pasul midoraisa because of gzeiras hakosev. But what about somebody who does see and is a valid witness? But this specific testimony wasn't something that he saw with his eyes; it was something that he heard with his ears. He's a kosher aid, but the aidus that he has was with voice recognition, was by recognizing a voice or by identifying something based on a voice. But he's a kosher aid. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch is mashma that the only reason why we don't, that the problem with the Summa is not that we can't rely on voice recognition, that we can't rely on hearing the voice. The problem is only that a blind person is blind. He's a puzzle aid. Just like a Karov is puzzle. Just like a Mesachik Bekuvia is puzzle. So to a Summa is puzzle. Here it's a pasuk that says, assume it's possible. The pasuk says that you have to be able to see. So the Shaar Mishpat is medayik. You see from this Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch that if somebody has vision, is not blind, and therefore he's a kosher aid, he can testify about what he hears. It's mashma that the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam are paskening that you can rely on voice recognition. It sounds like that's what the halacha is. That's the diuk in the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. So if we stopped here, okay, so we see the Shulchan Aruch and Rambam passing that you could rely on a voice. But there's an interesting gusa. If you look carefully at this Rambam, you notice that there's a letter that I highlighted, and I changed it to red. Hasumim, afal pishem akirim hakol, Yedu ha'anashim, harelu psulim ha'torah. The word a vav could be a conjunction or a disjunction. It could mean and or. So, if it's true that it's a conjunction, it's a vav ha'chibur, not a vav disjunction. It's not an or, but it's an and. So the Rambam means like this: Hasumim afal pi she both makir hakol v'yedu ha'anashim. They hear the voice and they know they're psulin. But a regular person would be kosher if he hears the voice and he knows. Oh, that means he wouldn't rely on just hearing the voice. You have to hear with your voice, hear the voice, and you have to know. Sounds like there's a second thing. It's not enough just to hear a voice. So if you learn that vav to mean, I'll say the diuk again. If you learn the vav to mean, and it sounds like a blind person, even though they have two qualities, they recognize the voice and they know that this happened. I don't know, however they know, they're still puzzle calls there today, summa. But a regular person who's not a summa would be believed if what? If he hears the voice and he knows that this happened. It sounds like you, perhaps if you read like that, then you do need to have it. It's not enough to rely on voice recognition. You have to actually have the voice plus know that the thing happened. That's what the Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Shamish. But Ein Raya from the Prisha. Ein Raya Mehach. You can't bring a Raya from this Rambam that we will rely on voice recognition. Only if you definitively have both points. Hakras Kol, he has the voice recognition. Because he has some other way to identify. Maybe even if he doesn't see it, maybe he felt. Maybe if you heard it with your ears and you felt it like Yitzchak felt the arm of Esav, then you could identify, then we could testify on with a yediyah. So here we have an attempt to prove the Rambam's Shita, but we cannot conclusively come out with a conclusion. What I'd like to do tonight is present one answer to this question that we have, the stira in Shas, whether or not we can rely on voice recognition or not. And maybe for next week, we'll leave some other answers. So I'll finish with this point. Here we have an achron called Atshuvas Avodas HaGershuni, one of the Gedolei Achronim. And the case that he has was an interesting story. It was a case of a Yerusha case, I believe, where there was a few brothers who inherited a large sum of money. And then all of a sudden there's a knock on the door and a guy says, "Hey guys, it's me, your long lost brother." Now, it could be that they knew they had a long lost brother, but this wasn't the kid who they remember. You know, they remember a 9-year-old kid who ran away from the house. And now it's 10 years later, 20 years later, and he's grown, he's a big man, he's 100 pounds heavier, he has a beard 5 inches long. Okay, but the story's not over. It happens to be before this brother came and they did not recognize him, this brother called on the phone. Well, whatever the case was, this brother called on the phone and his voice sounded the same as it was when they were kids. And they recognized it was their brother's voice. And there were witnesses who knew that the brothers who were the inheritors, who were the Yerushim, who had the money, acknowledged that they recognized that voice of their brother. But then when their brother walked inside the house, they said, "You're not the guy. You don't look familiar. You don't look like that cute little boy who is our younger brother." So what do you have here? You have a fascinating Shaila. You have a Shaila where the brothers don't recognize him, but they did recognize the voice. And there were witnesses that they recognized. They acknowledged, "Yeah, oh, he sounds just like our brothers." Maybe he was outside the door and he knocked and they said, "Who is it?" And he said, "It's me, Yanki," with that peculiar, you know, nasal voice. "Yanki, it's me, Yanki." And there were witnesses inside who heard the brother say, "Yeah, Yankee's here. Finally, you hear it's his voice." And they open the door. They see this big guy with the long beard that they don't recognize at all. So there were witnesses that testify that the brothers do recognize his voice. Will we be able to rely on that voice recognition to allow this boy to be Yorish with his other brothers? So comes the Avodah Sagershuni. And he says, "I have a raya from the Gemaras, the two Gemaras that say that we rely on voice recognition, right? In the same way that a husband knows that it's his wife because based on voice recognition. Well, these brothers recognize that it was his brother's voice, so we can rely that this is the brother." Oh, but wait a second. I have the other Gemara. He's asking our question. I have the other Gemara that you have to light the fire, light the candles in the room when you're trying to ambush the Mesis to try to get others to do Avodah Zarah. You have to light the fire, the candles, so the Edom could see who it is, and we don't rely on the voice recognition. So look at what this will be. We'll finish with this very interesting chiluk that the Avodah Sagershuni offers. He says, "I'll tell you the chiluk between the two Gemaras. The difference between the two Gemaras is anybody contradicting the claim of the witnesses?" Let me explain that. If witnesses testify based on an audio recognition, based on a visual, a voice recognition, is anyone arguing on them? Is anyone challenging them? If nobody challenges them, then we will be willing to rely on voice recognition. If, however, there's no challenge against them, then we will not rely on the, if then we will not, that if there is a challenge against that voice recognition, we won't rely on the voice recognition. If there's no challenge, we'll accept the voice recognition. With this in mind, let's look at the two Gemaras that we had. When a person uses voice recognition to identify his wife, is there a challenger? Someone saying otherwise? No. But what about when the Edim are using their voice recognition to identify, this is the guy who said do Avodah Zarah? Well, the next line of that Gemara says the guy, or Rashi explains, the fellow who's accused of trying to get his buddy to do Avodah Zarah could always say, no, that wasn't me. That's the answer, says the Avodah Seger Shuri. You know why the Gemara in, where was that Gemara? You know why the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Samach Zayin said that you have to have witnesses see with their eyes, you have to light a candle so the witness could see with their eyes and can't rely on their voice, the voice of the speaker to say that come, you should come to Avodah Zarah? Because the person who's doing the Avodah Zarah, the person who's convincing the others, could say, as Rashi says explicitly, it wasn't me, you heard somebody else. Oh, there's a contradiction? When there is a clash, when there's something that questions, you don't, that's against your witness testimony based on voice recognition, that's when we don't believe your voice recognition. When there's no contradiction, like a case of the husband and a wife, there's no one contradicting that's not his wife, then we are willing to rely on the voice contradiction. If that's the case, gentlemen, what are we going to do? How the Avodas Gershuni Paskin, we'll finish with this point, how the Avodas Gershuni Paskin in his case, where there are brothers who come and say, where there's one brother who come and he's recognized by his voice, that, you know, squeaky, hi, it's Yankee, that squeaking is a voice, and they say, yeah, it's him. But then he walks in, he looks like somebody totally different. There, since he looks totally different, the brothers say, no, it's not you, it can't be you. There's a contradiction. There's confrontation. There's a tension between what they recognize with a voice, the voice recognition, and some contradicting argument. And therefore, we will not be able to rely on the voice recognition in that case of the brothers. That is the answer of the Avodas Gershuni. Be'ez Hashem next week. So right now what we have, if we just want to sum up what we have today, is we have a stir in Shas. Do we rely on voice recognition? And we'll have to, we have one mahalach that depends if there is a contradiction to the edus of the voice recognition. And we'll have to see some more answers next week that will hopefully answer the question about the aguna, whose husband was allegedly burned to death in the boat, if his screams identifying him by his name, by who he was, if that's enough to allow her to get married. That we'll have to see more answers to see if that will work next week, Bez Hashem. So thank you for joining. And if anybody has any questions, I'm happy to take them. I'll just turn off the recorder. One second. Let's see who's here. Thank you, Shalom. Thank you, Mr. Davies, for joining. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Ellie. Thank you, Dr. Pinter. Thank you, Mr. Capel. Thank you, Mr. Gold. Thank you, Avi. Thank you, Tzafrir. And thank you, whoever user's iPhone is. Thank you for joining. Nice to have you. Thank you, Daddy. Early. Always good to have my father here, Baruch Hashem.
Are we early in?
I wish you all a good evening. Yes, question.
In the case of the Aguna, the original case, do we know that this person actually died, or is that also
no.
the case?
Because even if, it's, if you know that he right. died, then there's no shiloh.
We don't know that the person. We don't.
Well, right, obviously he didn't come back. Obviously, right, his wife never saw him again.
Right, but we don't know that he's actually. We don't know that he's actually.
If we knew anyone dead, actually then his died, wife wouldn't be an Aguna. There wouldn't be a shiloh. The question of the only reason why there's an Aguna shiloh is because we don't know if he's dead. Is he the one that got burned to death? Is he that dead body? Are the screams and the fact that we never recovered a survivor, is that enough to prove that he is the one who died and therefore his wife could get remarried?
It's because it's two questions. It's one question of identification and the second question of actual death. Even if we'll say that we identified the person, yes, we can believe his voice, that's him. Maybe he's not really dead. Maybe somehow he survived.
That's correct.
And even if it's the other way, you know, even if we see a body there,
maybe it was somebody, you know, else's
maybe it
body.
Was someone else's body who was there with him, who was
your
quiet.
Your point is well taken. Yes.
So it's a double question.
Yes, I don't think we're going to address both of those points. The other part of the tshuva maybe did, but it's a long tshuva. But we're just going to address: could you use the recognition, recognizing his screams, as enough to identify him as a positive identification to say this is Mr. So and so.
Right. Versus the Gemara in Gittin, where if he says I am Ploni ben Ploni, then we don't have the same issue of recognition.
if he said his name, who I am, please forgive me if I forget.
Right.
Except the Gemara is concerned that maybe it's a lady trying to.
But Lamaisa, we do believe it. So the same thing with Nagun. If the guy actually says, you know, I'm burning up and I am Ploni ben Ploni, allow my wife to remarry, then it would be it would basically be parallel to that Gemara.
Yeah, except that Gemara by Gittin says when it's right to get, it says Bishas Hasakana Hikil. I don't know what the definition of Shas Hasakana
is. Right. So basically, because that's, you know, Aguna is not going to be, seemingly would not be any worse than a Sakana than Shas Hasakana.
Yeah, these are both Aguna Shailas in a sense.
Right.
One is that a woman is going to wait for her whole life to get a Chalitza and she might never get it. The other is that a woman is going to never get married.
Right. Or to a certain extent, you want to say maybe getting it's more makel, because worst case, it's only alive if we know the person is dead, versus in the case where
it's talking about Aish. Yeah, that's true.
That's a possibility also.
That is
okay,
true.
I didn't think of that. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Rev.
Thank you, Doctor.
Why don't you say the difference in the case of the pit is, why does he have to say who he is? Because you're not hearing the coal. You're hearing the call of the pit. You're hearing an echo. And like the same thing with the shofar, you're not hearing the sound of the shofar. You're hearing the sound of an echo. Once you hear the sound of the echo, you can't use that to identify who the person is. You have to say, Bedafka, I'm so-and-so. Like, why when we're saying, you have to say, I'm
you want to say that Gemara, since it's in a pit and it's called Havara, maybe we can't rely on any, that just Gemara can't be used as any indication of how to pass
in that case,
voice recognition,
who
because...
He is.
You don't hear the voice quality is not a good voice quality.
That's why Badafka in that case, it says who his name is. Why does it have to give that identification? Badafka in that case, because it's not a call that you're relying on.
That could be. That is not a good voice identification, yeah.
In the case of the Yerushim, does it make a difference if the Yerushim themselves are the ones who are identifying the voice, or if somebody else is identifying the voice? Because if somebody else is identifying the voice, then the Yerushim would say, oh, there's not the person. But the Yerushim themselves are the ones who gave the voice to this person. They're the ones who said, we recognize this voice. So now they're retracting what they're saying.
They're saying, even though we recognize his voice, now that we see him, that can't be my brother. That can't be our brother.
Right, but then they contradict their own statement. By their own admission, they're saying that this is my brother.
No, they're saying that the voice is the voice of our brother, but maybe we shouldn't follow voice recognition, therefore it's meaningless. Yeah, it sounds like him, but I guess it's not. And we don't follow voice recognition. I mean, that's the other side of the coin. Do we follow, you know, will we rely on the fact that it sounds like him?
Okay. Thank you,
Ashkach. Rabbi Shalom, what are you tying? Shalom, what are you tying?
I have to think about it.
Okay, Ashkach. I hope they don't ask you this child the next few days, before next Thursday night.
He's an instigator.
Instigator. Okay, that's a good word. An instigator. Somebody's trying to... A mesis is an instigator. I think this is a more direct word. Mesis mediach. There's a more...
Trying to get someone to do the wrong thing.
Right, but I think there's a specific English word.
I just looked in the
dictionary. Facilitator.
No, but it's very specific. To get somebody, you just have to look at how the R school translates Mesis Mediach. Kiasis, seducer, maybe like seduce somebody to do Avodah Zarah.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.